one of the things that has happened is that as we have, without us doing anything or even realizing it, without any plan of action, is that... What?
As usual.
Yeah. Without us knowing what was going down, God has ended up crystallizing through us a lot of things that were extant for centuries. I mean, it's happened. And the one biggie is the idea that there are three parts to Israel, or it's the Levites, the priests, and the people. And there's no pride in any of those, because the Levites and the priests are the servants. And so you can't get a great deal of pride from being a servant. But in its relation, I find it fascinating in relationship to Pentecost. And the reason is that the offering, remember we've talked in this group 100 times about Pentecost, that the two loaves of bread, the offering that's waved, they're leavened loaves. The offering on the Feast of Pentecost are called the tenupa in Hebrew. And you've got this all in the notes before, so you don't have to. Well, in Numbers 8:11, I want you to describe something. I mean, I want you to read something. Let's go there. Numbers 8, verse... Numbers 8, starting verse 1. I've been studying for the last couple days Levites and priests. And there's not a, through different times throughout Israel, there's a merging of their identities. First of all Levites had to be priests. I mean, not had to be. Huh? No. They are sometimes, but most of the time they're. It started out that Aaron and Aaron's sons were the priests.
Family.
The family. There's, but the rest of the tribe of Levi were the Levites. And their job was to carry the ark around and put up the temple or the tabernacle.
That's probably the most accurate picture.
Huh?
That's probably the most accurate picture.
Yeah, they do all kinds of little shit. They do all kinds of stuff. But there's a merging. And it's interesting, the only time that there are Levites at all is when they're in the wilderness. When you enter into the promise, there's no more distinction between Levites and priests. In fact, then Christ elevated farther. Yeah. When you enter into the promise, there's no more distinction between Levites, people, and priests. All are priests. But so the idea that there are Levites and people and priests and some kind of an amorphous something going on that isn't real clear or real distinct is the idea of what Paul was talking about, where he had said some in the church, apostle, first apostles, you know, then prophet, then evangelist, then pastor, teacher, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So there's no, what it says to me when I look and try and find out, there's all kinds of places where it says if a Levite touches the holy thing, even the vessels, he dies. You know, there's another place where it says their job was to clean up the vessels. So I said, what the hell's going on? Are there that many? I mean, we're talking hundreds of contradictions when you begin to look at the work of the Levites versus the priests. It's, you know, and the rest of the Bible, there's a few. And it struck me, I said, my God, what's going on here? Well, it hit me that it's the same kind of thing that we've just seen in the offerings. That there is a merging of a function, of process. And the clearer and the more greatly we apprehend, then there's no more distinction between Levite, priest, and people, or Israel. And so, I'm satisfied with that. I mean, it sounds like there's massive contradictions, but I can see what it is in the Spirit. Now, the particular readings on the Feast of Pentecost that have been the readings since who knows when, way before Jesus, are interesting. One of them is Numbers 8. And that's what we're going to look at. I'll give you all these readings, and we're going to try to reason. It's like I've become comfortable with the feasts in that I don't feel I need to go out and bust my butt studying them and stuff. But what we will do on the feast is we'll do the readings, do the baptisms, and do the eating. Reading, eating, and baptism. Okay?
Yeah, plus for anybody who wasn't here before from Pentecost, we've got two years worth of
tapes.
Stuff in Pentecost.
Right.
Medicine.
Okay. Chapter 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so, and he lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold, unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according unto the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the candlestick. Now, this was made out of one hunk of solid gold. Pam, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm tired, so I'm spacing out.
Okay. There was one hunk of solid gold that was worked into this one candlestick with the seven lamps on it and all the fancy buds and all that. And we've talked before, the seven lights, the seven points in that candlestick represent the seven spirits of God, which I don't want to freak you out, but that's we haven't really talked about that, but we will. Now I want you to see that somehow the light, this being the reading, it has to do first of all with lighting the light. Reading for Pentecost. Okay? Making light visible. You know, we know geophysically that light is always here, but you have to do something. You have to cause some irritation to make the light visible. The electrons sort of bounce around in those wires and they get hot. So light is visible. We had a meeting today, and the subject of the meeting was making light visible.
Make Doug visible.
Now, for whatever reason, none of this was planned by me, except there was a dream by me for 15 years that we'd have a forum for the doctrine. And again, everything that always, it never works like I think it's going to work. Never, ever. But now, everything is in place. And so, you know, we're gonna go with what we got. In other words, we're not going to depend on anybody else. We're going to go with what we got. You got that? To try to push everything to the limits. All right. So keep that in the back of your mind. Let's talk about lighting the candlestick. Feast of Pentecost, lighting the candlestick. Okay? Verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. Now, that means that each one of you has to adopt a Levite. And you have to get a wire brush.
And a bottle scrubber.
Kind of like on Silkwood where they were...
Oh, no.
That's good.
No. All the stuff, the little nuclear stuff. No.
Or what else could it mean?
Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them. To cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, let them shave all their flesh, let them wash their clothes, so make themselves clean. Let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil, and offer it, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. Thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord. The children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. Now in verse 11, the word offer is the word tenupa, the wave offering. So, we're going to... In the spirit, we're going to maybe not. Beep, 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 beep. I did it to myself.
Get out of here.
We're going to, Barbara, everybody has to shave off every bit of body hair. And then we will sprinkle on them.
What can I say about Levites? Well, first of all, Levites are dumb. They're friendly little animals that'll do pretty much everything.
And then we will offer them as a wave offering before the Lord on the Feast of Pentecost.
Then we're going to take them to the Martyr.
That they may execute the service of the Lord. Now, then in verse 12, and the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and thou shalt offer one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites.
Thou shalt. I just thought of something, Nate. Can I speak? Like in verse 11, they may execute the service of the Lord, is like when it talks about the Paul saying, you know, he's just there to let the people, you know, do the ministry.
Amen.
And so at that point, when you're able to do the ministry, you know, then you're a Levite. And then when you begin to teach others how to do that, you become into this priest idea or something. Everybody's moving into that,
right?
That whole thing. You start out someplace like just the people walk off the street or something.
Right.
At some point, something happens in your mind and you know, all of a sudden you're serving and you're
Amen. Doing stuff. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Yeah, no, I can't. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them for an offering, and offer them for an offering, for they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel. Instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of the children of Israel, I have taken them unto me. You understand? Well, it means that if you don't, you have to give Angela.
If you don't understand?
If you don't accept the Levites, if you don't give, if you don't see, then, I mean...
Yeah, because of the whole firstborn deal
from the
back in Exodus.
For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself, every firstborn in Israel. And I have taken the Levites for, or instead of, all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according unto all the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the Lord before Aaron and before his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is it that belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old and upward they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus thou shalt do unto the Levites as touching their charge. Now, I think that's another place. In one place it says 20, in another place it says 25, in another place it says 30 years old. But again, it's this apprehension process. So,
do I get to retire again in 7 years?
Huh?
Do I get to retire again in 7 years?
Yeah. No, you get to retire to do the work of the priest.
I'd rather be able
to. Yeah, this is set up where it's compartmentalized, but in understanding, it's everybody's
pushing,
moving.
Jeez. Force there.
And that's what the different years indicate, the idea of merging. It's maybe it's 20, maybe it's 25, depending on where you're at and when it's happening.
Well, I mean, no, yeah, possibly, but I'm saying that plus the other apparent contradictions have to do not with the letter of the law, but with the apprehension. I mean, I don't want to go into it. I don't understand it, that particular question, enough to answer right now. So.
Sounds like an assault.
Now, yeah. We're going to assault. Well, let me show you. We you want to hear the assault? We're going to assault. Isaiah 10. Isaiah 10 talks about the assault.
Assault.
Not a salt.
I thought you said assault.
That's on the room.
Isaiah.
Isaiah 10. Start in verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them. Well, stay means to depend upon. Well, this is all of you. And the day they're talking about is from Pentecost. You shall no longer stay or depend upon him that smote you. Who smote you? Pharaoh. You shall no more depend on Pharaoh. We're talking big time assault here in a minute. You shall no longer stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet only a remnant of them shall return. Now again, for those of you who don't understand it, from the day of Pentecost on, there's only been Israel, because the seed of Christ is the seat, is in all men. So from God's standpoint, there's only Israel and apostate Israel, which is the whore. You understand that? And though the number of Israel be as the sand of the sea, which it has been since the day of Pentecost, the numbers, the population explosion. It took all of history until the late 1800s to get 1 billion people. It took about 35 years after that, 40 years, to get the second billion. So it's the early 1900s. It took 20 years, so about 1930, to get the third billion. It took a little bit, make a long story short, we just passed 5 billion 2 weeks ago. You understand? From God's standpoint, the remnant, I mean the Israel, had to be as the sand of the sea. There they are. Or as the stars of heaven. Yet only a remnant. A tenth. Only a little bit shall be called forth. As it was in the days of Noah, when only 8 souls were saved. Okay.
I'm not clear about the idea of, since Pentecost, you were just talking linear time right now, right?
Right.
Why were you talking linear time instead of outside of time? Does it matter? Or?
No. It's just the point that because we're talking Pentecost, we're studying the feast of Pentecost, if we want to study.
Indicating, and that's just as fulfilling that idea that the sand of the sea, 4 or 5 billion people, that's like sand. And then, out of that, which is a reality today,
right.
A small remnant of this.
For the Lord of hosts shall make a consumption. weren't. You don't want the Lord to make a consumption. You don't want that to happen. Even determined, a determined consumption, a determined destruction in the midst of the land. We're about to talk about assault here, so don't forget we're about to talk about assault.
How did we get onto assault?
Larry.
No, but it was one of the readings. It says Isaiah 10, 32. So.
Oh, okay.
Because it's talking about the wave offering, tunapah. It's shaken before the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwelleth in Zion. Who is Zion? They that trust in the Lord are Mount Zion. Oh, his people that are dwelling in Zion. Be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while. Now remember, we just got through studying the Song of Solomon because it was in the Passover. And we found that the Song of Solomon was in three parts. And it was in three parts because God's people are in three parts. There are three deliverances. There are, Moses was, it was given through Moses, who was the third son. all the symbolism of the three parts. And the redemption from three. Israel is redeemed first from Egypt, then from the whole concept of Babylon, which includes Assyria, then from Edom, the world, false religion, the flesh. You understand that? You're redeemed from all. Now we're talking here about being redeemed from false religion. He, the Assyrian, shall lift up, he shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against you after the manner of Egypt. You just gone through this, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to look terrible. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. As his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. In the same way that Moses took the rod and lifted it, and the sea, whack. So with the Assyrians, so with the false religion. That was the vehicle of your deliverance from the world. Now this Passover, we'll celebrate, first of all, the attack, them on us on them, and then our deliverance from Assyria. In the same manner as the manner of Egypt. You understand? Now, some of you don't know you've been delivered from Egypt yet. It didn't matter. You've hung around. That's enough. You understand? You hear me what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, now, it gets better. All right. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, what that says is the yoke shall be destroyed because of the Christ. Ding.
Who's his here? Is that the
Assyrian? The false religion. Some of you are still bound by it. You can't be bound by it if you're going to attack it. You get tied up in the chains. Now, remember, part of this false religion is the whole concept of cause and effect. It doesn't mean whether they say God stuff or not. Understand? Remember? Remember who the God, the chief God of Babylon is? Bel. Who's Bel? The God of cause and effect.
What should us feel like
and when these things happen, so that you won't be surprised that one passage from there.
I tell you these things, that when they happen, you'll know they're of me. Okay, now listen, it's going to get better. This is just the preparation. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, please don't just sit there like a bump on a log. You can't get by with that anymore. All right. And he has come to Aiath, and he has passed to Migron, and the Mishmash he
Well, you just lost me.
At Mishmash he hath laid up his carriages. Now, remember, don't worry about it. Those are places. They are gone over the passage. They have taken up their lodging at Geba. Ramah is afraid. Gibeah of Saul is fled. Lift up thy voice, O daughter of Gallim. Cause it to be heard unto Laish, O poor Anathoth. Madmina is removed. The inhabitants of Geban gather themselves to flee. Now, again, I must confess that I have not studied in detail each of those places, so I'm not prepared to give you the full typology of their meaning. But I am prepared to tell you those are the places of the battle. It could be anything in the natural.
These are in the land.
These are land places.
I mean, but they're in Israel.
Yeah, they're usurpers. Now.
Yeah, they're head trips too.
Yeah.
Well, these are all the places that where Israel is afraid when the Assyrians are advancing.
That's right.
I mean, that's what they're saying. Everybody's running around, but then God's going to do something.
Now, listen, listen.
Oh, look at this.
Listen. And yet shall did she read ahead?
She
did.
Yes.
I think she read ahead. Barbara, okay.
She's bad.
What is she taking lessons from John?
Reading ahead.
And you called me.
She's gonna take over taking notes too.
I believe.
Okay. As yet shall he remain at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Okay, that's he, meaning it's here. Okay, now watch. Behold, the Lord of hosts shall lop the bow with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled, and he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall him make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and the right and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. As he is in this world, so are we. No longer simply Christ in you, now it's Christ as you. That's what this celebration of Pentecost is about. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. In other words, there's nothing remains after the flesh that you can see that it makes any sense. Everything is different in your eyes. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice there. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. This earth, in this earth, shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every creature. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now, in verse 32 of Isaiah 10, he shall shake his hand. That shake is the wave offering, tenopah.
Hmm.
Understand? That's the true wave offering. That's what was typified. Now we will be shaken so that only that which is unshakable. We've been shaken. So only that which unshakable is remaining. Now let Assyria come. Let Babylon come. Let Edom come. Let Egypt try to return. Let sifted. Satan himself try.
Sifted with a sieve so that no flesh can appear to the flesh.
Who's shaking his hand there? Isn't that the Assyrians?
Hmm?
Shaking his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion?
Yeah, it's the wave offering.
So the Assyrians are...
In the same way that they...
Doing stuff with the...
Like, yeah, wait a minute, wait, you gotta go. You guys don't know about this. Go to 2 Kings.
Then they came to yourself together and all the...
Okay, wait.
Okay,
10:18.
Come on in. We're gonna have a party.
Come on.
Now, those of you who weren't earning bananas, you got to visualize what's happened. The New Testament says that they were to tarry in Jerusalem until a time when they would be imbued with power from above. It says that day was when the feast of Pentecost was fully come or fulfilled. Now, it says also they were of one accord in one place. Well, the one place they were was in the temple. They were of one accord. They were scared shitless. Because we had all this deal about they, you know. You got to remember, everybody's still after them. All the Jews came back to Jerusalem on the Feast of Jubilee so they get their lands back. So they made the temple of God into a temple of Baal. Just like those that say to me, well, Oli, how can I use this? The moment you do that, you've made the temple of God into a temple of Baal. So this temple in Jerusalem on the Feast of Pentecost was a temple of Baal. God had faked everybody out. He called everybody back from the four corners of the earth and from the 70 nations on the Feast of Jubilee, because they thought they were going to get goodies from God, and he faked them out in the same way that happened here in this temple. You got it?
Or even the disciples.
Even the disciples.
And they got wasted at the Pentecost too, basically.
Okay. And verse 18, and Jehu gathered all the people together and sent it to them. Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants, and all his priests. Let none be wanting. Now what better way could you call him than to say, come on back in the Feast of Jubilee. We're going to finally make this Jubilee stuff work this year. Never worked before. It always got screwed up because it was too complicated. Nobody ever got their land back. There were murders about it. It never worked. Now they got it. Now you're going to get all of you guys all over the world. You're going to come back here and get your ancestral lands back. Everything's going to be cool. You're going to get rich. You're going to be famous. You're going to be wonderful.
Double portion.
Huh?
Double portion.
You understand? This is what happened after Christ was crucified. The Feast of Pentecost. You got it?
I mean, there was some kind of new declaration where they said, this year we're going
to... Well, it was the Feast of Jubilee. Something. I mean, I'm just visualizing. I'm sure they said some kind of stuff like that.
Like because of all the...
Yeah.
Since it was every 50 years, it was probably that...
This is when God's going to release us from... Well,
yeah. Let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not... In other words, if you don't come, you're not going to live. Well, that's what the law says with regard to the feast, the three feasts. If you're not there at that feast, you're cut off from the people. You're a dead man. You understand? You understand how God's faking out Satan? Just like he did at the scapegoat, as we'll study later. But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. Good stuff. And Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. Have a feast of Jubilee on the day of Pentecost. Real religious. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left that came not. And they came into the house of Baal, just as Jesus said, "You have made my father's house into the house of Baal." Many gods. And the house of Baal was full from one end to another. And he said unto him that was over the vestry, "Bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal." And he brought them forth vestments. And Jehu went, and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, in the house of Baal, into the house of Baal, and said unto the worshippers of Baal, "Search and look, that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshippers of Baal only."
This is like your little story from Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so all of the guys, this 120 that had been hanging out at Mark's house for the last 40 days, scared to death, didn't know what was going to happen. They'd seen Christ three different times, never recognized him. They were in one accord, all right, but not as it's taught in the charismatic circles. They weren't in one accord because they'd fasted and prayed and blah, blah, blah. They were in one accord because they were scared to death. So now God had said, and the law says, you had to go present yourself into the temple. So they said, "Okay, guys, I don't know what the hell's happening here, but I know we can't be conspicuous. You know, don't dress like the rest of the Galileans. We'll borrow some clothes from Mark's dad. That's what we'll do. And I'll tell you what, let's meet at the column of Boaz there in the court of the Gentiles so that, you know, we won't have to. There's too many people that might recognize us if we go up under the court of Israel or the court of the priests. We'll stay down here. We'll meet the law. Jesus told us to come here. Let's meet. We'll meet, but sort of hang around the column of Boaz.
Were they counting on some sort of a dispensation?
No, they're just scared. They don't know what to do.
They just wanted to get through the day.
They wanted to get through the day.
Yeah.
Okay, but don't, above all things, don't bring attention to yourself. Because if you do, they'll think we're, you know, they'll kill us. Just like they did here. Okay, so what happens? God rips time, humongous pot of fire sitting there, and a piece of the flame jumps and goes to each of the 120, and they're saying, "Oh shit, God." They tried to say that, and then they start speaking in other tongues. Okay, now watch. "But look and search that there be with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the servants of Baal only." Now, they're not saying, I mean, you got to put yourself in these guys' position. They're saying the servants of Baal are the servants of the true God. God wants you to have this, this, and this.
And make sure none of those cult members.
That's right. "And when they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men without and said," now, in verse 20, "call and proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal." That was the Feast of Pentecost.
Wow. I love this question.
Say that again.
Is this a reading?
Yeah.
This is a reading from Pentecost?
Okay, let's go on. I can't. Let me just leave that one hang until I get some more information.
Let's say it.
And when they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men without and said, "If any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he that letteth him go, his life shall be for the life of them. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guard, to the captains, go in and slay them. Let none come forth. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and the guard and the captains cast them out and went to the city of the house of Baal. And they brought forth the images out of the house of Baal and burned them. And they break down the image of Baal, and break down the house of Baal, and made it a draught house, a shit house, unto this day." Now, that's what our role is. We have been called by God to be the instruments of the slaughter. And the weapons are not, weapons of a warfare aren't carnal. They're not against flesh and blood. But it's the sword of the Lord. It's the sword of the Lord, the Word, which cuts down and destroys every image, every false image.
And the spiritual weapon has an eye.
Amen. You understand?
Yeah.
And the Feast of Pentecost is when you're empowered for this service.
It's like they brought forth the images out of the house.
They made them visible. They made them visible.
That's wild.
Understand?
It's like, to paraphrase, so to speak, it's not against Falwell's and Baker's and all those people, but those people embody some of these images.
No, they're against, it's against their identity.
Yeah.
Their high place identity. We are not of those that say, I love you, brother, but I hate your sin.
it's a going in through that door and slaying those 70 elders in the dark.
That's right. We're gonna slay some folk.
Holy moist as we were slain.
Fat folk with bull.
What?
Fat folk with
bull and mud.
Go God.
Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Now, he did it on the Feast of Pentecost. It's already been done.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Pentecost was a, like a.
It's a power feast.
Yeah, it's a. This is like all the other things where Jesus fulfilled these deals that Elijah would do and stuff in the kings. Then this was another thing. And once it happened, it's like they probably talked about.
Now.
It's like happening the second time.
Whatsoever you say shall be done to you by the by my Father which is in heaven. We, as the Levites, if you will, gathered together today, grasped hands, and spoke because it's in God's perfect will, and I know it, I'd bet my life on it. We are in agreement that we spoke to have the bushel basket taken off the light. Or in the same, this symbolism, we spoke into existence the lighting of the candle. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Who did this where?
The Levites.
The Nats.
Hmm?
Yowza.
Barbara, Rick, Harry, and Owen.
And Donna. We are the ones without an inheritance. We have no visible means of support. We have no place to lay our heads except what's by the grace of others. Now, in a nutshell, we've simply told the Father that we have been faithful to everything that to the light that we've been given, and we are in agreement. The time is now to light the candle.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what this Feast of Pentecost for you will celebrate. For some of the people in Bananas, it's just going to be their burial. They're going to get killed. They're going to die so the flesh will stop smelling. You got it? Let me just read one other for right now to give you an idea. But in Isaiah 19, it's talking about Egypt. Surely the prince, in verse 11, surely the princes of Zoan, Zoan is one of the key cities of Egypt. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The council of the wise counselors of Pharaoh has become brutish or like an animal. How say you unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of the ancient kings? Where are they now? Where are thy wise men? Let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts hath purposed upon Egypt. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay, or the tribes thereof. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work, and are as a drunken man staggering in his own vomit. This is the description of the world.
Neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail or branch or rush may do. There is nothing in Egypt. There is nothing left to do except for you to use it as a hammer. Use it, but don't give it any breath. You have been prepared as a people. There is no excuse, not one single excuse for any bit of idolatry left within you. There is not one single excuse for anything in you that still stays or depends on Egypt. There is no excuse for any of you to go to the council of Pharaoh or to the council of Assyria. You have been prepared like no people I know of for over 2,000 years. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, branch or rush may do. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, and they shall be it shall be afraid in fear because of the shaking, and again, the tenupa, of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which shaketh over it. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself, because the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. This is our heritage. This is why you were born. Our role from this day forth is to turn the world upside down. Egypt. Assyria. Babylon, the flesh, Edom. That's what we celebrate this Feast of Passover, the empowerment for that activity. You got it?
Got it.
There is none of you any longer that even your ways of thinking have been changed so radically without any effort on your part. All you've done is been pushed to the limits. He will it and do it in you. As long as there are no idols or false idolatry within you. You've all seen the vanity and the futility of relying on Pharaoh. You've all seen the vanity and futility of relying on Babylon. You automatically know the vanity and futility of relying on Edom. And he's prepared you, he's prepared me. Look out, world. Now, the next thing that's going to happen is the gift that is within you will be stirred up by prophecy and the laying on of hands. That's what we'll be about for the next few days, a few weeks in this group. We're going to stir the waters so that you will be able, with full assurance, to fulfill the office that you have in the body of Christ. And that's what we're celebrating this Pentecost. No more walking in fear. No more walking in uncertainty. No more, I don't know what to do. Oh, poor me. You feel it? Do I hear some amens?
Amen.
Ever since Larry used the word assault, I've been thinking about the concept of assault marines. Very strange group of people.
Yeah, just before you said that,
they're the ones that reckon that they have nothing to lose.
And I say to you, all of you, that when, you know, But when it says, now you are about the body of Christ and members in particular, God has set some in the body, this, this, and this, and it says that he gave more honor to the weaker. Yeah. Well, what he's talking about is many of you have had a weak identity in the Spirit. You've always been a victim. You've always been stepped on. You've always been afraid. I say unto you with all power in heaven and earth that those identities are going to be transformed into a point where you never again know fear. And that's especially true for Pete, for Gary, for Rick, for the others that were walking in the case of, you know, where your currency was acceptance or being pleased. Or it's no longer necessary. And God is stirring that up within you so you'll never again, it'll be as though it were a bad memory, a bad dream. It'll fade, you'll even remember it. That's what our heritage is. And that's how we began the process of letting the fullness of each of your inheritance be made manifest unto you. And this Feast of Pentecost, we're simply saying to the world and to God, now let the games begin. Amen?
How you think, guy?